The following Women's Spaces show was recorded on Monday, December 9th, 2018.
The woman in your life will do what she must do to comfort you and calm you down and let you rest now. The woman in your life, she can rest so easily. She does everything you do, because the woman in your life is you.
Hello, everybody, and welcome to Women's Spaces. My name is Elaine B. Holtz, and I'm your host. And with me at the board is my friend, my partner, my co-producer and engineer, Ken Norton. Good morning, Ken.
Good morning.
Wow, what a great day here in Sonoma County. A little bit overcast, but at least we can breathe, which is, it's amazing. Anyway, I have one special guest with me in the studio, Susan Lamont, who is a longtime peace and social activist and is currently affiliated with the Sonoma County Green Party. Actually, she sits on their county council. She is also part of the Police Brutality Coalition and Veterans for Peace, and also a dear friend, someone who I've known for a long time and marched with and talked with and debated with, and I'm really happy to have her here in the studio with me. Well, this week was really interesting. I attended the second meeting of Unshackled, a monthly racial discussion group, with the idea behind it is that we come together and talk honestly, and therefore we can heal some of the racism that lives in all of us and become more familiar with one another. I mean, it's an amazing group of people. We gathered at the Arlene Francis Center down in downtown Santa Rosa. There were about 30 of us, and it was led by an African-American woman by the name of Dr. Jacqueline Lawrence, and she believes if we have some open communication that maybe we can heal some of this racism that lives inside of us. And the most amazing thing about these groups is how honest and open people are in their ideas and their attitudes, and we talked about that, is that why are people being so open? What is motivating them? And the truth is that what's motivating them is that they want to move on. We want to learn how to live together. We want to learn how to get along together. We want to unshackle ourselves from our biases and our prejudices and our fears of one another. So it's a real important group that's meeting, and it's meeting the first Wednesday of every month. So their next meeting, let me see if I have that written down. But yes, their next meeting is going to be January 2nd, 2019, and it's also, like I said, it's the first Wednesday of the month. What a way to bring the new year in. You know, talking about things like this, or talking about racism, talking about how we can come together. What a great new year. You know, we all make New Year's resolutions. Maybe one should be to get to know each other better. In fact, one of the assignments of the class is to find somebody who is totally opposite of you. You know, whether it's ethnicity, color, you know, age, whatever it is, and just go up and say hi, talk to them, or reach out to some of your friends and find out a little bit about them. Find out what you have in common and what you need to work with to become more familiar with one another. So a shout out to Dr. Jacqueline Lawrence for doing this. I think it's taking a lot of courage on her part to get folks together of all kinds of ethnicity in a room and talking about such a deep subject and being so honest and so clear with one another. I mean, it's for me, let's see, what word can I use? I would say that it's a spiritual experience. What else can I say? You know, as most of my listeners know, I am president of the National Organization for Women, the Sonoma County chapter. And what's happening also is we are doing the planning for 2020, which we're going to be celebrating 100 years since women got the vote. And here we are 100 years later, and lots of things are in jeopardy. You know, women need to stand up. Women need to be heard. Women need to come together and say, hey, enough is enough. We want a better future for our children, our grandchildren, And Lord, here I am, a great grandmother. Four generations, you know, kind of came through me. I feel a certain sense of responsibility. In fact, I have my little great granddaughter Satori's picture right here beside me to remind me why I come here every Monday to do Women's Spaces. And I had a thought, you know, I want to encourage my women friends to stand up and be heard. And, you know, I'm a retired corporate executive, and I got to tell you a little story. So one day I'm sitting in my office and I'm waiting for this purchase request. It was for maybe around $225,000. Back then it was a lot of money, and I could the report kept not coming in, and I said, "What is going on?" Well, it was in Switzerland. So I had to call the woman in Switzerland. I got a hold of her on the phone, and the first thing that she does is burst out crying. "Oh my God, I'm getting a divorce. I don't know. And I want to get the purchase order, you know, and I've got to listen to all this emotion." And finally, she said she's going to send me the purchase order. And I said, "Well, thank you very much." And I hung up and I said to myself, "What can I do to comfort this woman?" And I looked over to the right-hand side of myself, and I had a picture of my first dog that lived with me, which was by the name of Freya. And I said, "Freya, tell me, what should I tell this woman?" So anyway, this is what Freya told me. I wrote this little poem called "The World According to Freya, as Told to Elaine B. Holtz." Bark when you need to bark. Lick a friend at least once a day. Cuddle up on a lap with someone that you know will pet you. Get a treat whenever you can. Begging is okay. Nap as often as possible on a soft pillow. And don't take anything seriously. It all passes anyway. Well, those are some mighty words. So I say to my listeners, my women listeners out there, remember, bark when you need to bark. It's very important. And I know there's a lot of dog lovers out there. Okay, all right. And like I started before, I said that I am the president of the National Organization for Women, the Sonoma County chapter. And we're holding a get-together on Wednesday, December 19, 2018, starting at 1 o'clock. We meet at the Roundtable Pizza Parlor over here on Guerneville and Marlow Road. And we're going to have, you know, pizza and a little bit of cake and a little bit of conversation. Hopefully folks will stay and attend our meeting, our monthly meeting. And we would like you to RSVP. You can RSVP at info@nowsonoma.org. Let us know that you're going to come so we can kind of, you know, plan on the food that we're going to have. But the idea is to get together and say hi and meet and greet each other, and also to give a shout out for the group that has kept this organization going all year long. We're just a small group, but we represent a national organization, and we represent over 250 women here in Sonoma County. So I'm very proud of us. I want to do a shout-out for the National Organization for Women, the Sonoma County chapter, and all the other women's groups that are working so hard to bring peace into this crazy world. And also to remind you, mark your calendars for January 19th. Because we're going to have the next Women's March. It's being organized by Leslie Graves. The fiscal sponsor is the Peace and Justice Center. We're going to have some great speakers, some great music, and we're going to do a march, and we're going to bang those pots, you know, make lots and lots of noise. So there's lots of good stuff, you know, to get involved with. You know, you don't have to sit home and feel sorry for yourself. There are so many people out there that are working on so many wonderful things that need your support. Now, tonight, and Ken and I are really happy we'll be going there. This, the final election results are now in, and we're going to celebrate at the Sonoma County Conservation Action Group, and that's going to be happening tonight, Monday, December 10th, from 6 o'clock to 8 o'clock p.m., and it's going to be at 540 Pacific Avenue in Santa Rosa. And it sounds like a really fun event, but we're also going to be celebrating the election, you know, the fact that so many progressive people got into office, and we have our fingers crossed as there's going to be some changes. Sometimes I wonder, you know, I hope and I pray and I try to have all the confidence I have, but boy, I'll tell you, every once in a while, I really feel very disappointed. That's why I feel this show is very important, that we talk about what we're going to talk about. And also, I want to do a special a special happy birthday to my sister, Evelyn Diane Holtz. We celebrated. I can't believe my baby sister is up there in age. I mean, she's 74 years old, and I remember when my mother brought her home. It feels like just yesterday. So happy, happy birthday to my dear sister, Evelyn. Okay, one last thing I have to talk about to everybody before we go to our musical break, and that is, I can't believe it, December 31st actually falls on a Monday, so it's going to be the last show of the year. And it's amazing that we've been on the air a whole year, every single week. I mean, that's a lot of shows. But, you know, it's so rewarding to know that there are people out there that are listening, people out there that are trying to make changes, and people that are out there that actually reach out to me and let me know how much the pledge means to them and how their lives are moving along and what they're doing. And also making recommendations for people that are being, that I can have on the air. So one thing that I want to do on the 31st, first is I want to have as many people calling in, saying hi, doing whatever they can. So what I'd like you to do, if you are interested in making a comment or saying Happy New Year to me or Happy New Year to the world, email me at elaine@womenspaces.com. That's elaine@womenspaces.com. And let me know your telephone number, your name, your telephone number, and what you'd like to say on the air, and we will be calling you on New Year's Eve Day. I mean, I can't believe it's going to be 2019. I can't believe it's been 5 years since young Andy Lopez was killed, that we've been working on this project, this I don't know what you want to call it, this entity for 5 years, and it feels like we go one step forward, and then all of a sudden it feels like someone pushes us back. You know, that's why I'm very excited about having Susan Lamont on to discuss the meeting they had, the annual meeting, the annual report, the fact that the director of the it's called the Independent Office of Law Enforcement Review and Outreach, IOLARO. I love that, IOLARO. It sounds like a dance. The Independent Office of Law Enforcement Review and Outreach, IOLARO. Jerry Threet was the was the director. He is leaving, so that's going to put a new face on it, a new idea on it, and we will be talking extensively about that. So let's go ahead. Let's take a musical break, and we're going to play one of my favorite songs. I mean, it was so interesting. Oh, one last thing before we go into the musical break. Last night, Ken and I went and saw Bohemian Rhapsody, the story of Freddie Mercury. What a movie that was. What an experience that was. And what a heart, so many heartbreaking things, yet memorable things happened. I mean, I would definitely recommend that movie. It was just wonderful. A shout out to my daughter, Susan, who says, Mom, you got to see that movie. And she was right. We had to see it. It was just great. Anyway, it gives you a kind of a feeling. You know, success is very, very interesting. You know, people dream of success. They dream of one attitude or another attitude or one office or one type of job, or they want to be a rock star, whatever their goals are. One of the things the movie shows, that you got to follow your heart. You got to do what your heart tells you, because if you follow your heart, and all of a sudden you will find yourself in the right place at the right time. You know, that's a little side remark and something to think about. Anyway, we're going to make a musical break right now, and the song I will be playing is Everybody Knows. That's one of Leonard Cohen's songs. I love that song. Everybody knows the dice are loaded. Yeah, right. And when we return, we will be talking with Susan Lamont. Like I said, Susan is a longtime peace and social activist who is currently affiliated with the Sonoma County Green Party, Police Brutality Coalition, and Veterans for Peace. We will be talking about the Independent Office of Law Enforcement and Outreach, IOLARO. And Susan, along with myself and a few, I'd say maybe 10 or 12 more dedicated people have been following this issue for the past 5 years since the killing of young Andy Lopez. Actually, this is what evolved out of it. That's why it's so important to us that we keep it and we progress with it, not digress with it. Anyway, let's go ahead and listen to Everybody Knows.
Everybody knows that the dice are loaded. Everybody rolls with the fingers crossed. Everybody knows that the war is over. Everybody knows that the good guy's lost. Everybody knows the fight was fixed. The poor stay poor and the rich get rich. That's how it goes. And everybody knows. Everybody knows that the boat is leaking. Everybody knows that the captain lied. Everybody got this broken feeling. Like the father or the dog just died. Everybody talking to their pockets. Everybody wants a box of chocolates and a long stem rose. And everybody knows. Everybody knows that you love me, baby. Everybody knows that you really do. Everybody knows that you've been faithful. Give or take a night or two. Everybody knows you've been discreet. So many people you just had to meet without your clothes. And everybody knows. Everybody knows. Everybody knows. That's how it goes. And everybody knows. Everybody knows. Everybody knows. That's how it goes, and everybody knows. Everybody knows that it's now or never. Everybody knows that it's me or you. Everybody knows that you'll live forever when you've done a line or two. Everybody knows the deal is rotten. Old Black Joe's still picking cotton for your ribbons and bows. And everybody knows. And everybody knows that the plague is coming. And everybody knows that it's moving fast. And everybody knows a naked man and woman are just a shining artifact of the past. Everybody knows the scene is dead. There's gonna be a meter on your back that will disclose what everybody knows. And everybody knows that you're in trouble. And everybody knows what you've been through. From the bloody cross on top of Calvary to the beach of Malibu. And everybody knows it's coming apart. Take one last look at this sacred heart before it blows. And everybody knows. Everybody knows.
Everybody knows. Oh, yes, everybody knows. But everybody's afraid to speak out. Those who speak out, they say, what do you know? Well, everybody knows. Anyway, for you just tuning in, you are listening to KBBF 89.1 FM Calistoga, Santa Rosa. And I want to remind my listeners that the opinions expressed here are not necessarily the opinions of KBBF, its board of directors, its members, or Women's Spaces. Well, welcome back. You're listening to Women's Spaces, and I'm your host, Elaine B. Holtz. And without further ado, I want to introduce my guest in the studio with me, Susan Lamont. Welcome, Susan. Welcome to Women's Spaces.
Thanks for having me again.
Well, I always love to tell our listeners our history. Actually, Susan was the first guest I ever had when I first launched the show in, what was it? Oh, God, it's been almost 15 years already.
Really?
Yeah. Where has time gone by? I mean, it's just amazing. Well, Susan, it's okay. I'd like to tell our listeners just a little bit about you.
Didn't you already do that?
No. Susan Lamont is a long time. Well, you know, radio is different because people come in and out. So we have to kind of repeat ourselves two or three times here and there. Susan Lamont is a long time peace and social activist who is currently affiliated with the county, Sonoma County's Green Party, as she actually sits on their,
county council.
County council. So it means you have a vote.
Oh, yes.
Have a vote and let your opinions come through. She also is part of the Police Brutality Coalition and Veterans for Peace. She's also a writer, a poet, and a photographer. I have to say she's an amazing writer. Susan, I'm happy to say, is a regular guest and was my first guest, like I said, on the show in 2004. That was a television show. At that time, I produced over 300 shows at the Community Media Center. It's really interesting. I was looking how many shows I'm producing a year. We produce 50 shows a year here at KBBF. You know, folks, I want to remind you, become a member of KBBF. Support your community radio station. All you have to do is go to www.kbbf.org and look up in the right-hand side, and you can become a sustainer. You can do all kinds of things. Well, anyway, that's enough about me. We're going to talk about today about the Independent Office of Law Enforcement and Outreach called IOLERO. They recently had their annual meeting, and its director, Jerry Threet, will be leaving and soon to be replaced, which is interesting. Plus, we have a new sheriff on board for the first time in, a long time. So lots is going on. So there's a lot to speak out. So anything else you'd like to add, Susan, that we might have left off?
No, unless you want to talk about the firing of Bob Aronson by the city of Santa Rosa, that one too.
Well, that's part of our thing. I just read that in the Sunday paper. My goodness. And you know what's so interesting about that, what's so heartbreaking, is he was so approachable.
Yes.
You know, he had meetings with people, you know, it was just amazing. We will talk a little bit about that later on. But I was stunned that that happened, to be honest, because he was such a mild guy too. But they didn't like what they had to say, and that's right. I don't know why they don't like, you know, it's like somebody critiquing you and I, you know, they just give us an opinion and then we have an opportunity to improve. I mean, how else do you improve if nobody tells you what's going on? Who is he? Bob Aronson. Do I talk a little bit about who he is?
Oh, he's the auditor for the police department of the city of Santa Rosa.
So it sounds like both the police department and the sheriff's department,
Exactly. They're
not very happy with the group.
Basically, what I liken it to is, you know how we're being dragged back from progress in Washington, D.C.?
Exactly.
It's underway here, too. They don't want to improve things either.
Well,
the status quo works just fine, thank you.
Yeah, just leave it alone.
That's right.
Leave it alone. Like you know, you can eat all the ice cream you want and you're not going to gain weight. Anyway, let's talk a little bit about the Independent Office of Law Enforcement Review and Outreach, IOLERO. How did you get involved in this, and what do you believe? What was the idea behind it? I know it evolved out of the shooting of young Andy Lopez, and I was involved with that. And I mean, the activism and the noise that was made in order to get this going. But talk a little bit about how you got involved and what you believe that they were looking to accomplish.
Well, just like you, I mean, and many, many other people, when Andy was killed by the sheriff's deputy, we were outraged. We felt that it was something that didn't need to happen, that eventually, you know, with the development of this office, that maybe it was a flaw in procedures that were accepted within the office. And so that was part of the activism, was to say, what is it that allowed this to happen? And also, what is it that allows this to essentially be okay within law enforcement culture, where we don't prosecute somebody who has done this? We don't even acknowledge that we made a mistake.
You know, it's interesting, too, is I remember when they formed the
CAIA Task Force.
Yeah, the Task Force. And one of the things, the first resistance that we ran into was the word oversight.
That was one of the more interesting things in the entire process, because it was a new concept, not only for the activists, but for all the people who were appointed to this task force. I can't remember. How many were there? 19?
It was a large. A little over 20.
Yeah, maybe it was 20. Yeah. Is that we had sort of assumed that at some point civilians and maybe the Board of Supervisors could have some say over what happens within a sheriff's department. And what we learned is because the sheriff is independently elected, another elected body supposedly has no say over what happens at the sheriff's office, who's also separately elected. There are people who disagree with this. I've heard people from other counties say, well, you know, you're being given a line of bull by your people in your county. There actually is possibility of more oversight. That's never been tested here.
Why do you think they didn't like the word oversight?
Because it actually means you have an ability to look in depth at the office of the sheriff and have input that they might have to listen to. As it stands now, you know, if there's no political pressure, they don't have to listen to a single word that comes from anybody if they don't want to. As long as the sheriff, who continues as usual, can keep getting elected, because your average voter just assumes, oh, law enforcement, cool, I'm safe. That's what they're there for. You know, I can get real extreme on this, where I believe that the average person actually isn't that bothered by the deaths of innocent people, as long as they can have the feeling of supposed safety.
Yeah, well, you see that a lot.
I've diverged totally from the question, I guess. But
no, but you see that a lot, like particularly the wars.
War is the same thing. Yeah.
Right now, they just allocated $641 billion, yeah. And I don't see people out in the street saying, wait a minute, what's going on here?
Well, as Supervisor Shirley Zane said, you know, the military has a very specific culture to it, and law enforcement has a culture that is very similar to that, and we need to respect it.
Oh, well. Anyway, let's go to the next thing. You know, you were involved with all these meetings and discussions and you know, looking to form the department. I mean, I can't believe how many meetings that we actually attended.
Oh, there were meetings every single week, multiple meetings. They were originally charged with doing this within a few months, and it went on for, I think, almost a year and a half.
Yeah, it did.
So, yeah, this is going to be a whole lot more complicated, particularly once they discovered they really couldn't legally have oversight, and they were going to, you know, everybody was frustrated by that.
Well, you know, it's so interesting to me, because I think about, you know, we always talk about money. You know, money always becomes a factor.
Yes.
You know, we can't afford this and we can't afford that. You know, and I think about some of the things that go on in our community, about how wasteful we are, you know, in relationship to making things happen. And yet they'll spend money on things that have nothing to do with anything else. You know, and then they say there's not enough money.
Well, not to mention, on average, $1 million a year in settlements for police cases brought against law enforcement within Sonoma County.
That's the average, $1 million?
Yeah.
So that means for how many years? Well, they had it. They actually had a huge report, I think, in 2000, where they actually had a task force come in and evaluate all these departments. And and what was so interesting, that was another interesting part about the situation, is that there was no allowance for this report. You know, this intense report that was done, you know, I mean, I forget how many pages it was. I remember when I read the whole thing, I said, my God, this is so in-depth and so many suggestions. They even suggested things for Roner Park Police, you know, and yet it was completely ignored.
Well, that's pretty common. I mean, just think about when we were trying to get the sheriff's office to get Deputy Gail House, who shot Andy, off the street. Now, they couldn't, if he hadn't been found, you know, if he weren't being tried or, you know, prosecuted, he couldn't be fired. So then we said, well, we'll settle for his having a desk job. And they said, well, they can't do that either. And we're trying to show that he was a racist, and here are some reasons why this man should not be on the street. And remember how we would bring up the Totenkopf, which right. is a symbol from Nazi Germany of the SS, and how he had had that on his, it's not called a website, it's something else I can't remember the name of, that Terry Carrion got the screenshot of it, and then there were all these comments that he had made about law enforcement being a contact sport and all kinds of things that he had done. And we brought all this forward, and we repeated it over and over again, and yet it was completely ignored as irrelevant to anything because it didn't fit into some legal context. And the interesting thing for me was that every time we brought up that Totenkopf and held it up at a supervisor's meeting, they would act as though they'd never seen it before. You know, they might have seen it 10 times, but each time it was like, oh, huh? What? What are you talking about? And that's just how government works. If they don't want to have anything to do with it, they don't. And they just act like you're crazy rather than, you know, they're complicit.
Well, it does. It does make you feel, it does make you really, it does make you a little bit crazy.
Yeah. I mean, it's one thing if they couldn't legally do anything about it, but to even act like they'd never seen it before over and over again. That's the part that makes you start to say, okay, this is so rigged. Everybody knows that the dice are loaded. There you go.
Yeah, exactly. Well, that's the whole point. The point is everybody knows, and the fears that we have, the fear, you know, it's kind of interesting. I think about becoming a great grandmother, and I think about children, you know, and when I always go back to the Andy Lopez situation, I always think about the mother and all of a sudden getting that phone call. You know, getting the phone call that your son is lying dead in the street. I mean, to me that would, I don't know where I would go with that. I mean, I don't know how I would feel, but I know how I felt when I heard it happen and when I met the family. So it was a very propelling moment for all of us. I think what propelled me the most was not so much the shooting, to be honest with you, but the shooting of a child. Of a young 13-year-old boy. I mean, that to me crossed all lines as far as I'm concerned. You know, it's like, well, you know, we bring up Nazi Germany a lot. I mean, I hate to think that our country is even in that position. But one thing that was very, very clear is once they start going after children and women, you know, it was kind of a downhill slope. So that was what propelled me. So what I'd like to do is just talk a little bit about when you were going through the process and you were watching all this, and this was you were even involved in the hiring. I mean, we were at meetings. We were involved in the hiring of Mr. Sweet at the time. And so, what were some of your concerns then, and did they play out?
Well, we were just hoping that we would end up with a director who was strong and understood that what the community wanted was a balance. To the sheriff's office, because the sheriff's office is extremely strong. And there was a lot of pressure to include deputies and such and, you know, actively within the this new office. And we kept saying, no, the law enforcement is adequately represented, more than adequately represented in this community. It has a strong office. We need something that is completely separate and independent and has the strength, has the money behind it, the people behind it, to seriously look at what happens in the sheriff's office. And so that's part of what's disturbing about this report or the sheriff's response to this report is he wants that office folded in some more into the sheriff's office, and he wants the elimination of the office as it now exists.
Well, I want to make it real simple for folks. I really do.
Yeah, go.
We got to make it real simple, folks. You see, our sheriff department has more guns than any of us.
That's right.
Okay, so if you have people who have the potential to do such harm, you have to have some sort of oversight.
Yes, you do.
Because we're human beings, and, you know, given a little power, given a little responsibility, sometimes you can cross a line. You know, sometimes you can do things that you really should not happen, and that's the whole idea of a citizen's somewhat of a review board, that they look at these things, they find out why it happened, and then the next step is, because we understand why it happened, we can prevent it from happening the next time. And I think that's what everybody was asking for.
Yeah, and that's what's so alarming about what Shirley Zane said, is because the country is supposedly supposed to believe that the military doesn't get to operate within the country on us. And if she's saying, well, this organization has a military culture and we should respect that, that's, to me, that's crossing a line. And as you say, they've got all the weapons. They've got the ability to kill. In the 1920s, my great grandfather, John Schindler, had a letter in the New York Times. And at that time, they were talking about arming sheriff's deputies. Up to that point, the deputies had not had firearms, and they did get them. But he was writing, and he said, you know what's going to happen? Is if you arm them, they're going to end up killing innocent people, which is, of course, what happened.
Well, but that's why you need
oversight. That's exactly
right.
That's
why you need oversight. It's really interesting. Well, let's kind of come up to today. Mm-hmm. You know, Jerry is leaving, and I have to say I found him to be very approachable.
Yes.
I mean, when I think, it's hard not to, as you're talking on the air right now, it's hard not to, your mind not to bring you back to different places and different interactions. But he really was the type of person that you could move, you could talk to, you know.
Yes.
And I think in his heart of hearts, he really hoped that he could make some changes. So talk a little bit about him. What did you feel that he accomplished, and how do you feel it's going to be, with a new guy in town?
Well, I think that some of us were initially, because we can be a pretty angry lot, right? and included in the group of people doing protests around this are people who actually don't believe law enforcement should exist at all. So there's a real range of political viewpoints here. So if you're talking about trying to gradually make change within law enforcement, that's not going to appeal to people who just want it gone. But so, I mean, I'm not one of those, but he seemed so mild-mannered that we felt he wasn't going to be a strong force against the sheriff's his power. And I think that has not been true. I think in his interactions with the sheriff's department office, he has been strong. The problem is most people still don't know the office exists. And that would be one reason to have more people working for it, because Board of Supervisors actually asked him to kind of step back on that and only concentrate on auditing complaints within that are received by the Sheriff's Department, so that he didn't have the time and the staffing to make it known what he was doing and what people could do to be involved in it as well. And that's a really... Public pressure is the biggest thing that one would have to influence the sheriff's office, because it's an elected office. I mean, we saw that in the last election, which was finally a contested election after more than a quarter of a century.
People couldn't do it.
People still voted for more of the same, because that's what they're used to doing. But if this office were strong, wasn't around long enough to terribly affect that election. But in the future, it might.
Well, I want to go back a little bit about the new sheriff's election.
Mm-hmm.
I haven't checked it out yet, but I am definitely going to check it out. The feeling that I had when I was listening to the candidates You know, we had three people running. We had Oliveris, we had John Mutz, and we had Essex running.
Essex, yeah.
And so we had these three people. And Essex was already an established in the, he's been working in the sheriff's department for years and years. He was actually on the task force,
right.
But the feeling that I got as I listened to all three of them, in fact, at one point I remember, what's Essex's first name?
Mark.
I remember Mark Essex actually almost quoting from one of our speeches.
Oh,
I couldn't figure,
yeah.
I couldn't figure out if it was your speech or if it was mine.
Doesn't matter.
You know, but I was overcome with joy, to be honest.
Well,
they
all of them, we clearly influenced what was said during the campaign. Those things would never have happened without our work. Well, now that it's over, we do have Essex on record over and over and over again supporting this office. Well, I helped create this office. And if he steps in and agrees, and he's held off saying anything until he is sheriff. But if he steps in and agrees with Giordano that this office needs to be dismantled and be something else, well, then we know that he was lying. At least that would be my opinion.
Well,
if he's lying.
We have to be real careful on the station about opinions.
I know. I'm aware. It's my opinion.
One thing I want to say about Mark Essex, I met his family. I met his wife. I met his daughter. And in my mind, I'm holding back with opinion.
Right.
You know, I
really, well, I'm just saying
I know what you're saying.
Yeah.
But if in case the sheriff's office is listening,
right,
or someone is listening to this interview, you know, what I'm trying to say is that I really want to hold back and trust that he's going to come forward and do what he says. Actually, he has a child. He has, you know, that he has to secure a future. And, you know, there's all kinds of things. But I think the most important thing is the community has to keep up the pressure and keep paying attention. So when all of a sudden, if somebody is reading the newspaper and they say, oh, those activists are at it again, why not change your thinking and say, oh, there are people in the community that are really concerned to make sure the right thing is being done.
Yes. And Jerry has said that there has been conflict this year between him and acting Sheriff Giordano. But he says, I like this man. You know, it's not a personal thing. You can disagree with somebody you like.
Exactly. Hopefully.
Yeah, right.
Actually, if you really like them and you disagree with them, you're helping them grow and learn. Well, let's take a little musical break here, you know, and lots to think about. And the most important thing, folks, is to wrap your mind around this. No matter what we're talking about, no matter what we're doing, it's all political. It all has to do with politics. It all has to do with one guy shaking another hand and saying, this is here, I'm going to support you if you do this for me, and all kinds of different things.
And sometimes it's life and death, though.
Right. Well, often, more often than not. I mean, right now, when you look at the world and you look at some of the wars that are going on, I mean, we really have to start questioning. You know, and there's nothing wrong with questioning. I got to tell you something. I questioned all my life. You know, my report card, when I was in school, they put down, Elaine should understand that children should be seen and not heard. Well, I never got that concept. I'm sorry. So anyway, we're going to take a musical break, and we're going to listen to It's Political Son by Shannon LaBrie, and then when we come back, we're going to finish our conversation with Susan Lamont. We are talking about the Sonoma County Department of Independent Office of Law Enforcement Review and Outreach, IALERO. We're talking about some of their goals and some of their accomplishments. And when we come back, we have a few other things to share.
You must believe it, we're invisible.
Boy, it sure is political. Well, welcome back. You're listening to Women's Spaces, and I'm in conversation with longtime activist Susan Lamont, and we're talking about one of Sonoma County's departments, the Independent Office of Law Enforcement Review and Outreach, IOLERO. Welcome back. Welcome back, Susan.
Thank you.
Well, last Tuesday, Threat gave his annual report to the Board of Supervisors, and you were there. I'm so sorry I missed it. You know, I wasn't feeling very well. Tell me what the mood was, and what were some of the issues that were brought up, particularly the hot-button ones?
Well, there was clearly conflict being acknowledged, I would say more by Giordano than Threat. But the conflict between the two offices was talked about a great deal, and the supervisors talked about it a lot. It is mentioned in the report. Jerry's report is, I should say Mr. Threat, his report is 111 pages long.
Wow.
It's incredibly detailed and covers many, many things. And it does mention that after the fires, seemed to be less cooperation between the two offices. And he gives a number of reasons for this. I would mention that there's so much in here, and then there's the sheriff's response, and then there's the office's response to the sheriff's response, and then there's some suggestions through an ordinance. And I would suggest that people would go online. If you just Google IOLERO, IOLERO, and then Sonoma County, it will take you to that office, and all those reports can be found there. Because there's much too much to talk about.
And also, we'll have the websites listed right on Women's Spaces.
Okay. But then the sheriff's response just, they acted as though this were something that was totally negative, which it was not. That they mentioned nothing positive. That was not true. And in the end, the sheriff recommends, he feels a more productive model to accomplish this is to hire a truly neutral, independent, and unbiased auditor for a specific limited period of time. And there is nothing about what he described could possibly be deemed more independent and neutral. Threat has been very inclusive of the sheriff's office. Again, Shirley Zane said, well, you're being very patriarchal, Jerry. You just issue these things and you need to talk to the sheriff. And of course, Jerry talks to the sheriff all the time and other people within the office. And so I think most of the conflict was, you know how they have these false equivalencies where if someone, if a racist white guy beats up a black guy and the black guy gets angry, somehow the black guy's anger is deemed the same as the anger of the person who beat him up. So it's those are false comparisons. And there was a lot of that I felt at the supervisors. And so the sheriff issues this 8-page response in response to this 111 pages. And personally, I think he hopes that most people will read his 8 pages and never read the 111 and find out how they won't know how false and misleading I certainly felt the sheriff's response was. And I realize it's hard for people to consider looking at 111 pages. But
I wonder when we think of false and misleading, yes, if we change it to maybe of a more protective stance.
Well, they aren't used to being. They aren't used
not,
to this.
You know, it's interesting. It's interesting because when I think of the sheriff, particularly the acting sheriff, and I think of the fire, and I think of the way he handled himself. You know, I have to say kudos to him.
I did too at the time.
He kept a community together.
Yes.
So in a way, I feel that they had such a big star at that particular time, that when they start looking at the Iolero aspect of it, which is really going into detail what's happening in the jails, what's happening with complaints and all the
what law enforcement is actually about on a day-to-day basis.
I think they get very protective and very, you know, change is very, very, very difficult. And I want to say at this point, too, is that I think what I'll do is I'll give them a holler and see if they'd like to come and talk about this also. I mean, it's kind of, it's an interesting point as to why they would not be in favor of something like this. Because in having an organization like Iolero that is giving them some feedback, they're really protecting them and giving them more viability in the community.
Well, and Giordano actually acknowledged that many of the points, so much of the report is related to investigations around complaints to the sheriff's office. And so Threet spent a considerable period of time in the, reviewing these. He said some of them, there was one that took 60 hours. You know, he was reviewing the jail beatings. These require a lot of work, and so he would make recommendations about, well, you didn't interview all the witnesses, or he said this particular time you didn't interview the officer, this time you didn't interview the person who complained. And Giordano would say, and in this particular case, we heard what the problem was, and we went and fixed it. What I felt was he was responding to recommendations coming from Iolero, but that maybe he didn't want people to know he was doing it. It's a very strange dynamic. Obviously, there are personalities involved, and it's complicated to look at. And you can't, you know, I'm not in Giordano's head. I'm not in Threet's head. You can only see the result. But there were a lot of times when Iolero was very effective in terms of homeless policy for the sheriff's office, immigration and ICE stuff related to the sheriff, supposed changes to procedures in terms of investigations. Very positive things happened, and they are mentioned by Threet in here. And the sheriff's response says there's nothing positive here. This is vindictive. This is personal. And I felt it was very unfortunate. But they aren't used to having anybody look over their shoulders. And they said, we do this internally. Well, the whole point of Iolero was you can't rely on it. As you say, with the people with all the guns, you can't rely on them to investigate themselves. Someone else has to be doing it.
Well, you know, we're coming to the end of our segment here. There's just so much. You know, one thing I was thinking, and I want to send this out over the air, and maybe somebody will pick this up. You know, there's so much controversy. You know, you've got the activist community saying one thing. You've got the sheriff's department, the board of supervisors saying another thing. You have all these other, you have Threet saying his thing. You know, you got all these different factions. I don't understand why our local, say the Press Democrat, doesn't take this report and digest it and do a report on the report so the people really know the positives and the negatives of it, because there's good in it and there's negative. And the most important thing to recognize is how difficult change is. Everybody's holding on to their position. Everybody wants to be the good guy. You know, everybody wants a box of chocolate. You know, and that means they want to feel good. They want to have something that satisfies them. So there's got to be a way. But I personally want to thank you for giving such a great overview, and also for your commitment, and to the whole group of people that have been committed to the last 5 years to trying to make something.
It's a long haul.
So what I'd like you to do is give the website one more time.
I don't actually have the website. I just, each time I want to do it, I just Google Iolero Sonoma County,
okay,
and it takes me there.
You get the report.
It's right on
and
there, yes.
What if people have any questions for you? What is your email? Anybody wants to, you know, maybe further, maybe do another interview, another station? Who knows?
They can do slamont@sonic.net.
slamont@sonic.net. sonic.net.
Yeah.
Well, Susan Lamont, I want to thank you so much for being such a wonderful guest here. We could have been on another hour. There is just so much. And I really encourage folks, I will do the research. I will find the website. It's going to be on our website, which is www.womenspaces.com. You know, we archive all the shows. I also want to encourage, again, become a member of KBBF. I mean, this is a very important interview we had. It's about our community, about all the communities who are trying to do some sort of oversight with their law enforcement offices. It's very important that we support our local station. Remember, a reminder to our listeners that I will repeat this show. We'll repeat at 11 o'clock tonight on 89.1 FM. Remember, our children are the future, and we must never lose sight of that. This is Elaine B. Holtz. You've been listening to Women's Spaces, and I look forward to being with you the next time.
Hold a woman in your life. She can wait so easily. She knows everything you do because the woman in your life is you. Because the woman in your life, the woman in your life, the woman in your life is you.
The previous Women's Spaces show was recorded on Monday, December 9th, 2018.